You know, in a pre-COVID world, folks would gather and have ashes imposed on their foreheads in the form of a cross, and the pastor would say, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, most of us know that the ashes are meant to be a visual reminder of our fertility and mortality. The ritual is meant to invoke in reflection upon the fragility of our humanity and evoke a desire to repent. And though I believe it is important for us to always understand this, we're going to shift this evening our emphasis from the mark of confession, meaning the imposition of the ashes, to the act and season of repentance. While I know that many view repentance in a negative context, it is important, I believe, we realize that the word has become hijacked by the sole belief that it is an admission of guilt followed by feelings of sorrow for our actions and behaviors. But the biblical concept of repentance is so much more. As one theologian shares, the primary Greek word for repentance is metanoia. And if you consult any commentary or Bible dictionary, you'll see that it is translated for us as a change of heart. Now, most churches lift repentance as a prerequisite for personal salvation and holiness. But upon deeper analysis, it reveals an even richer meaning. For when Jesus was inviting individuals, you see, to repent and believe, he was not just asking folks to simply forsake sins. Rather, Jesus was actually challenging them and us to a new way of living. See, the way of living is spelled out in Scripture when it says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And it doesn't end there. The Bible also tells us that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles themselves will be exalted. Friends, tonight, in this moment, we have entered into a season of putting aside our pride, emptying ourselves of everything that we hold of value, and even those things that are held in secret. All things that are in opposition to the will of God. Ash Wednesday is the start of this process for all who long to grow in their relationship with God, all who long to experience spiritual transformation, for each of us who desire to have our faith resurrected. But this cannot happen, you see, unless we deal with our sin by humbly submitting ourselves before the mighty hand of God, confessing our sins, repenting from our offensive ways to God, and by simply receiving His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness. You know, we see a biblical account of what this looks like in the book of Psalms. In fact, it's Psalms chapter 51. And what makes this such an accurate account for such a time as this is because David writes this prayer immediately following the fact that he knows he has been caught in his sinful practices with Bathsheba. I want to invite you to read these words with me, where it says in verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. May God add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Again, friends, what we just read was the moment when David began a season of repentance. We know that this was set in motion when the prophet Nathan came to him and confronted David's besetting sins of adultery and murder. And if you're unfamiliar with the story, then you can read about it where it is detailed in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And I encourage you to read those passages and reflect upon that story after this service. But here's a bit of irony that I want to remind us of this evening. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. So let me ask you, do you think this title was given him because of his willingness to stand up against Goliath? Do you think this was inscribed upon him because of his grace shown toward King Saul when Saul was seeking to kill him? Or do you think this was given to him because of his willingness to humble himself before the Lord and spend a season in a spirit of repentance so that God's attributes and traits would replace the carnal vices that lived and reigned within his heart? This evening, and not a sarcastic tone. You see, repentance is not a condemning word, brothers and sisters. It's not a punitive word. Rather, repentance is the very action that ushers us into the healing grace of God. Remember, repentance is expressed as a happy occasion in the kingdom of heaven. And while this season of repentance may accompany hard decisions and sacrifices, it should also invite you and I into a season of peace, and I'll even say joy. You see, repentance is the very thing that carries one into a new life with new horizons. How this happens is due to the awakening of our conscience in the image of God. Again, let me say, how this happens is due to the awakening of our conscience in the image of God. Remember, repentance is supposed to remind you and I of our value and worth in Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand something this evening. I'm not speaking tonight or preaching about repentance being a moment where you sit down and reflect and say, God, I'm sorry, I'll try not to do better. No, I'm talking about you and I entering into a season that helps us to no longer relapse into destructive, ungodly ways. Lent is about us taking a journey into the wilderness, confronting our sins, just as Jesus confronted temptations. But this season is not about doom and gloom. Look at the story of Jesus. If you remember, he was baptized. He was affirmed that he was the Son of God with whom he was well pleased. Then the Spirit led him into the desert. And after the 40 days was over, he was nourished by the angels. I want you to know, friends, that nourishment just wasn't physical. It was spiritual. I can imagine they whispered over and over that he was God's Son and how well pleased he was with them. Likewise, our season of repentance will conclude with that great reminder that we are children of God. Individuals who are made in His image. You know, one theologian is quoted saying, repentance is when we realize our sin is not so bad as it is a waste of time. He goes on to say, when you are stuck repeating the same old patterns that get you nowhere, repentance is the light beam, the mercy, the joy that interacts your path and suddenly intersects your path and suddenly opens a new way forward. He says, when you are wedged in a hard place, trying the same old methods to no avail, repentance is the creative insight that bursts through rock and concrete. Repentance is when suddenly there is a doorway where you thought there was only a solid wall. You know, this is a concept of sin and repentance I had never thought of. I like the way that this theologian explains it. You see, to not embrace repentance is to live in ways that are unworthy of our time and energy as people of God. Repentance, my friends, does something that many do not associate with it. It grips us with clarity and with wisdom. As the prophet Nathan was the external source for King David's season of repentance, Lent is our Nathan, our external source for spending a season in repentance. And as children of God, we cannot allow to let sin slide. Not because I say so, but because God wants us to dig deeper in our relationship with Him. I don't know if you know this or not, viewer, but God yearns to have a relationship with you much more than you yearn to have a relationship with Him. And because of this truth, I can assure you that every time we take the time to repent, it is always met with the grace and mercy of our Savior. So let this season of Lent cause you and I to spend the next 40 days reflecting on our hearts. Spend this season of Lent grounded in the repentance of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to carry you from the low light of this evening to the darkness of Good Friday. And while it may be uncomfortable and even scary at times, the promise of Easter, resurrection, is what awaits all who are brave enough to make this journey with the Spirit of the Lord. I offer this to you this evening in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.